It's the Tiltcast, episode 323. Poke it with my lance.
And this week, guys, we talk more Injustice 2, some more Final Fantasy 14, and Justin's experience with Monster Hunter World. Stay tuned.
Those monsters.
It's oozing.
Poke it with the lance.
The lamest opening ever.
Well, you know, whatever works.
It's the Tiltcast.
It's the Tiltcast.
And it's all kind of lame right now.
I am really zombie rusty at the moment.
It is Groundhog Day. September.
September.
February 2nd.
Holy God. What happened? We just fast forward and like 7
congratulations,
months.
America. According to...
Talks to Tony Phil.
To Phil, we're going to have 6 more weeks of winter.
We'll see. It's also my mom's birthday, so shout out to my mom. Birthday, mom.
Happy
who
birthday.
Who never listens to the
mom.
Show.
Thank God.
On principle.
Yeah. Thank God. Yeah.
That's.
It is, yeah.
That's a Groundhog Day.
It is.
That's why I woke up to I Got You, Babe.
Yeah.
Oh, son of a bitch. My fucking my phone trolled my ass.
Is that something I did on its own?
Oh.
Oh, that's fucking funny. I got a new app for my phone that is a new alarm clock, and it fucking trolled me today. I'm like, this isn't my normal fucking alarm clock. It starts off with, I got you, babe. I'm like, no. No. I don't need today to start over again. Good God.
That reminds me of...
You know, there's not that many people that know what that movie is.
Not I know. Anymore. That is the saddest little thing ever. It is... It's... now become an old person joke, and that's
right.
Really bad.
Well, it's funny because, it's like, terrible. You know, I work with new employees, right? And my employee range is split down the middle. I got 20 people. Out of the 20 people, I've got 10 people, like, under 22. And I have 10 people that are, like, over 35. So, like, I'll say something stupid, right? Like, we're going to do this day again and again and again. I was making stupid Groundhog Day jokes yesterday. You know, it might be First Friday, but it might not be First Friday.
Oh, no.
And...
oh, no.
And then somebody's like, you know, Groundhog Day. I was like, yeah.
As 10...
And then I started putting the lyrics to I Got You, Babe, in there. And somebody's like, Sonny and Cher. I was like, no, you're not getting it.
No.
No.
No, you're not getting it at all. As 10
I was like, pairs give you a
of
hint.
Really young, confused eyes
it's
just
like
stare at you
Bill
like,
Murray. The guy...
Bill who?
You're just like, no!
Yeah.
One of the funniest people in the entire fucking world. What's your problem?
But at the same time, though, I mean, let's admit...
Bill fucking Murray.
Groundhog Day actually isn't really all that funny. Every time I watch Groundhog Day, I just immediately have to watch, like, Caddyshack or Ghostbusters to get the funny back a little bit.
I like What About Bob.
What About Bob is really good, too.
Because... that is just, like, the most annoying Bill Murray. Like, it's so uncomfortable in spots, too. And it's not, like, really dirty. It's just...
right.
He just doesn't get how much he's hated.
Yeah.
But...
not nothing.
Speaking of trolling, that reminds me, I was on my way to work yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And evidently it was the birthday of Big Boy from Outkast.
Okay.
So, the guy for the birthday segment, he plays Hey On. They're talking about the music.
Right.
And one of them goes, well, my favorite song is Roses. You know, your shit don't stink. So, he asked the producer to, you know, play that one.
Yeah.
And instead, producer Rick rolls the entire fucking radio.
That's just wrong.
It was amazing.
That's just wrong. See, of internet memes, that's the one that's probably going to stick around for years and years. And
I think even younger people know what that is.
Of course they do.
Oh yeah, we've totally corrupted the younger generation with the Rickroll.
Oh jeez. I can tell you right now, though, I am completely fucking out of touch with memes. You have to go back to meme school if you've not memed in a while. From what I understand, I am old.
Just to get it out of the way, right? Like, I didn't understand the Tide Pod thing for a long time, and I had to look that one up.
Why? Now when I go to the fucking store, I'm all fucking self-conscious about buying fucking Tide.
Well, I just don't buy it because it's too expensive.
Well, but I use those pods. And
I started saying the first thing this fucker does last Saturday when I go over there is go, hey, if you're hungry, I got pods.
I reach into my fucking laundry room and I just grab my fucking Tide Pods out. It says, hey, you want one? And if you don't like the Tide Pods, I've got Cascade Pods under the sink. They're a little smaller, a little grainier, but
yeah, just a little,
a little bit gritty. They get a little foamy.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a different flavor.
Yeah, I just don't get the whole Tide Pod challenge. I don't understand
it
either.
It's like idiocy abound. It is the worst fucking idea you could come up with. Like, a fucking cinnamon challenge was another one. People are fucking, like, breathing fucking cinnamon into their lungs. Of course, if it does that to your mouth, what do you think it's doing to your fucking lungs, you dumb shit?
Right. It'll make you asphyxiate.
Yeah, you're gonna fucking choke to death on fucking cinnamon of all goddamn things. Like, fucking put cinnamon and sugar and fucking, like, some fucking...
Cinnamon only belongs on toast.
Cinnamon sugar toast or fucking, like... fucking cinnamon rolls. I mean, that's the reason cinnamon exists, is cinnamon rolls, I'm telling you. Fucking, yeah.
Mm. But in general, cinnamon and sugar for toast, waffles.
I don't know. When I was growing up, we had sugar, and then we had cinnamon sugar. It was right next to the fucking sugar, and the cinnamon sugar was only used for toast. It was every Sunday morning. Mom would make a big breakfast. I would make, like, an entire loaf of bread worth of fucking toast. And we would fucking sit down and have this massive, massive breakfast. And I would just sit there and fucking, like, cinnamon sugar all over this fucking toast.
Rusty has no illusions at how he got over 300.
I'm a fat man. And those breakfasts, one day out of each week, I'm pretty sure... made part of that right there. And a good portion of those.
I mean, that's a pound a week, probably.
Yeah, well, I mean, I had me some cinnamon sugar, I'll tell you what.
But
I finally quit the whole 30 thing.
Really?
Yeah.
About fucking time.
Just couldn't deal with it no more, huh?
Yeah, and I wasn't really losing weight.
Well, see, I think you had better results on keto. Even if you plateau... it's the maintaining that's the key there. So for me,
well, I immediately went back low carb and I was like, oh jeez. And I've been like I started it yesterday, right? And it was right before payday, so I couldn't really do much about it yesterday. But this morning I was like, I woke up early, and early for a guy that gets home at midnight, you know, is about 8 a.m. because I don't go to bed till 4.
Oh, that's cute.
So I slept about 4 hours, and then I went to the grocery store so I could get cheese to put on my eggs. And I was fucking happy.
Oh, yeah, dude. I could not do keto without cheese.
I could not live without cheese, period.
Well, and...
keto or no keto. I love cheese.
Half and half is way fucking cheaper than coconut milk. Coconut milk doesn't taste that bad in my coffee. But...
yeah, it's just... yeah.
But I am happy to have my half and half back.
I use heavy fucking cream in my coffee. I go full on fucking heavy cream.
I do sometimes, but it's...
That's just me. It's
kind of thick.
It is. You only need a little bit.
It just turns into like syrup.
Otherwise, you don't have coffee. You have a latte.
Where I'm a little bit different. See, about a month ago, the kids' WIC got changed, so that they no longer get whole milk.
Oh,
it's just
2%? 1%?
1% or
milk water.
Lactate, basically. Ugh. You know. Yeah.
I won't even do 1%. Like, it's just, yeah. It's milk water.
It's milk water.
They fill the jug, like, 75% full of water, and then they dump some milk fat in there and shake it up.
Shit, I can't even stand to have 2% on my cereal. I want whole fucking milk.
The fat, fucking, you know, like, instant milk. You know, the fucking dry milk and shit.
That's what 1% tastes like.
Okay, instant milk holds the record for making me throw up the fastest of all things.
Oh, I know,
ever even ingested ever. It was like, as soon as it hit the tongue, everything that I had that day came out. It was it was instant, almost.
Well, it's also, I mean, it's hard to get it cold enough.
Well,
I mean, without putting it in the fridge or something.
Well, you know? I don't know what the fuck it was, but it tasted like fucking what I imagine baby ass tastes like. It was bad.
I don't know that I ever imagined baby ass.
Instant milk isn't much different than baby formula.
It's
like,
yeah. Think about this. At one point, you enjoyed that shit.
It's basically baby formula without all the extra protein that they put in baby formula, right? So,
it is tasteless, fatless milk. And
milk needs fat.
And milk needs fat
That's why I don't touch anything other than whole milk.
I don't even go... I stay right there at fucking heavy cream. I'm like,
heavy cream's kind of hard on cereal.
You could do it. You could do it.
Oh, I could.
It's but, not the I can concede that it's suboptimal, but but it's possible.
Oh, it's possible. Just getting through it would be kind of hard.
If you have enough cinnamon sugar, you can get through anything.
No, sir. That's bacon.
If you have enough bacon, you can get through anything. There you go. I understand that now. Okay.
Speaking of which, I had Ron's today, and that's just...
I don't think anybody else knows what Ron's is.
They don't skimp on the bacon.
Ron's is just a fat person's restaurant here, but it's pretty good.
It's pretty damn good.
It's not like a fat chili guy's burger bar, but it's
like a chili cheese burger, and you need a fork.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Or even if you get regular hamburger, like if you order a regular cheeseburger and you add bacon to it, they're not putting like two or three slices of bacon on it. No, they've got nothing but crumbled bacon, and they just throw a handful of that shit on top of each burger patty.
See, that just gives me like this idea of making this one massive, what I call a pan burger, doing this, that, like a handful of crumbled bacon, throw that on there, and then, you know, and getting like a fucking sunny side up fucking egg and throwing it on top of that. Oh, that just, and you add cheese into that. Perfect.
I couldn't do the sunny side up egg. I could do an over easy egg.
Oh, sunny side up. You gotta have that. You gotta have it like filter through the bacon and down into the burger.
I've never had an egg on a burger.
It's actually
pretty dang good.
Yeah.
No, I'm weird about my eggs. Like, I save the yolk for last, and then it's a challenge. Can I take the texture of this or not? And then I pick at it, and then I start to eat it, and then if I don't like it, then I'm just done.
Oh,
so I just make two eggs, and I always eat the egg whites, and then and when I get to the yolk, it's kind of like a challenge scenario.
That's probably because you're overcooking the yolk.
Well, no, I don't. When it's overcooked, I just throw the whole egg away.
Really?
I cannot stand a hard yolk, so it has to be runny.
Wow.
And if I don't like the flavor of the yolk, then I'm just fucking done.
Oh, well, I grew up.
I always scramble them.
I grew up on farm eggs, so it was mom would always make eggs over easy or sunny side up, and I would be the outlier, and I'd say I want mine hard and dead, you know, because I couldn't stand it. But as I got older, I'm like, that's the best part right there.
Here's what the people that will like fry it in like almost no oil. So my grandmother does this. She'll spray the pan down with like some Pam, right? And she calls it frying an egg.
Right.
It's not frying an egg. It's cooking an egg. And then she flips it to get it harder on the other side. I can't do it. So when I fry an egg, there's like a cup of grease in there, and it's a challenge to splash the grease on top to get it to the right consistency, and then get it out of there before anything inside gets hard.
Oh.
Or I'd use like fucking bacon grease if I can get that.
I use ghee, so if you put a healthy amount of ghee in the pan, you can.
I was making ghee. That takes a long time.
It does.
even without ghee, though, you know, I just use for every two or three eggs, I use 2 tablespoons worth of regular butter, and that's enough.
I've never tried butter on it. I might have to try that.
That's
frying egg in butter.
I've
always done that. I mean, and that's why I decided to go with ghee, because if you use regular butter, it starts to brown, and I don't like that browning. So use ghee, and you get that same butter flavor, but without the browning.
For people who don't know, and this way you don't have Google search it, ghee's just basically butter that's been boiled to remove all the water.
Pretty much.
I mean,
simplification of it. Yeah, but
you get the butter hot enough to where it's like bubbly, and then you wait till everything starts to float on top, and then you throw it through a coffee filter into a can.
Oh, I do.
He actually scraped it out with a spoon.
Yeah. So the proper way to make ghee takes a long ass fucking time, and the whole idea is to get as much of the water out of the butter as possible, and then get all the milk solids to sit to the bottom and kind of brown on the bottom of the pan. So the best way to get all of that is to scrape the scum off the top of the butter as it's cooking, and you cook it for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Almost. On really low heat. You just let it sit. And when it starts to pop and boil of like, you know, any other, you know, hot oil, then you know that it's about done.
I've never taken 2 hours. It was more 2 hours with the filter process. I just skim the top and then just let it drip and drip and drip.
Now, if you do ghee correctly, the way that it's supposed to come out after it's done is that at room temperature, it is solid. And the batch that I made when you were over didn't quite make it that far.
Well, my wife was also pushing you to finish so she could clean your kitchen.
Right, but, you know, whatever. It didn't quite make it to perfect ghee like the first time I made ghee, but it's close enough. So, as long as I keep the ones that I'm not using refrigerated, I'm good.
As I sat there and set up your PS4 and then watched comedians in cars getting coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. And then passing out on my fucking love seat.
Yep. Pretty much. Because we were there till like 1 a.m.
That was the beginning of my day. Daywalkers.
So since you've had the PS4, have you played anything on it?
Not really. I had to actually...
The man gives you Horizon Zero Dawn to play, and you don't even fucking... use it.
Okay. Look. When were you over? Like, Sunday? Okay. Then I worked Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. And then I had my fucking migraine Wednesday night through Thursday. So yesterday, and then all of fucking today. I have pretty much basically just been in survival mode for the past 5 days. So you can, like, fucking sit and spin, bitch.
No, I've been gaming. I beat the story mode for Injustice today.
Nice.
Which kind of started to trend me and Jason playing that every time that we wait on Rusty to get here.
Wait, you don't have to wait like 15 minutes.
30 minutes.
Fuck you.
40 minutes.
Shit.
That's all right. I mean, we get some good matches in. If it hasn't
been readily apparent, I'm a little on edge today. These fuckers can
all the more reason for us to poke the bear.
Yeah, but the tips of my thumbs right now are pretty sore, and I didn't realize how long that game is. The story mode takes, I'd say 7 to 8 hours to beat. I mean, which is not bad for a fighter. And then I found some other things. So there's some RPG elements to it, kind of like how they did with Mortal Kombat. So they have these challenge scenarios, right, that you do afterwards, and you get gear to unlock different levels for your characters, and the gear changes your appearance and adds stats. But you can't use it in, like, online tournament multiplayer, but you can use it on the characters, and you can at least use the skins when you're doing your battles. But it gives you, like, extra strength, extra life, extra health, extra abilities, all sorts of crazy shit. And so now, like, there's another layer of replayability on it that I didn't know was there, which I thought was actually pretty fucking cool. So there's, like, a whole nother level of fightingness with that game, and I'm starting to finally kind of understand it a little bit. But the story mode was pretty coherent, and I was very surprised about that.
Shit.
Injustice 2 is pretty fucking fun. Like, I almost today bought the expansion for it, and I was like, no, I'm going to get good with what I got and figure it out, and then maybe I'll do that later, right?
I told y'all it was good.
I mean, I kind of wish I'd, played it more last year, right? I'm feeling bad about it. Like, it might have... As far as fighting games go, it's a really fucking good fighting game, right?
Fighting game, though. It's just, for me, it's, I don't know. I haven't really gotten into the fighting games. Last fucking fighting game that I actually really got into and fucking mastered, really, was Killer Instinct Gold for the fucking Nintendo 64.
Well, Killer Instinct has been basically free on Xbox One forever at this point.
Right, but Killer Instinct Gold was my shit. I stayed up all night long. I went over to my buddy's place. He had the 64 in the game.
I know there are people out there that love it, but playing Killer Instinct on an Xbox controller has never really felt right to me.
It's not.
No, it's because it's too chunky, and I screwed up my D-pad.
The 64 fucking controller, like that weird claw thing. Yeah. Now I played that game until my thumb was literally bleeding. I said the word literally, but yes, it was actually bleeding. I mastered every character on the highest fucking difficulty. I think by the end of the night or into the morning, I was up way too late.
I haven't gone back to it recently, and I know it was a pretty good game on Xbox, but the thing that turned me off is there wasn't really much of a story mode.
Right.
Or a single player component. It was all mostly focused on online play.
I know that's the idea.
But for me, like those games, when they have a decent replayable single-player mode for somebody who knows that they're not at a level that can compete very well, right? With the people that are serious about competing, like, that's more appealing to me, is I can butt-mash with my friends online, or here, right, locally, or just goof off and understand the game a little bit better.
Now that we both have Injustice 2 for PlayStation, we could.
You guys can do that. It's me playing Injustice or me playing any fighting game right now is like a monkey humping a football. It's just pointless.
Well, and I've had some decent fun with it. I mean, I finally kind of got the rhythm of how that game works, and it feels pretty good.
I mean, and I would pick up Dragon Ball's Dragon Ball FighterZ, but it's the same fucking thing. I would love the visuals, and I would do the fucking moves just to see, like, the big fucking supers and everything.
Well, you know, it's just one button fireballs, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. From what I understand of the new Dragon Ball Fighter game, it's essentially Marvel versus Capcom. It plays very similarly to that type of game, only it's got the anime feel.
Yeah, because you tag people out, right? So you build a team.
You build a team of three fighters, and then you can tag them in and out and do combo moves between your team, you know, kind of call them in for one special or whatever, you know. And you have to wear down basically three life bars to beat the match. Right.
Well, in Injustice, you know, it's just the two lifeguards and, you know, one person, 1v1, right? But the nice thing about the game itself when I was playing through the story mode is you'd get options sometimes, picks either or, and it wasn't just one character the whole way through. And it kind of, it basically made you play most of the good guys throughout most of the story. But it was pretty fun. I was pretty addicted. I got to the point where I was actually paying attention to what was going on, and I turned off the podcast I was listening to. Because I started it fully thinking, okay, this is going to be a podcast episode thing. I'm going to get through it in a couple hours. And because the first Injustice took, like, maybe 3 hours to beat.
Yeah.
Something like that. It was pretty short.
They really played on and built on the whole Superman's totalitarian regime thing. And
yeah, the evil Superman thing I thought was great. But... And then Batman, I kind of finally figured out how to use him, because before I kind of sucked with him, and then I realized that the way they set him up is there's a lot of combos that don't require half circles, right? So all the combos in Injustice, either back forward, forward back, or roll forward, roll back, right? They're all pretty easy. But another level of the combos is just regular old button presses. So it could be like light, light, heavy, light, light, medium, medium, light, medium, something like that, right? And then I figured out Batman just has a shitload of those combos that you follow up with. You use the super to close in, and then it's all those. So it's just like playing fucking regular Arkham Asylum once you get up close. You just have to understand how that works. And then you get into a long chain of just punches.
Which, once you realize that, actually makes playing through the story mode a lot easier. Because you actually play Batman for a good bit of the story.
Well, like, you have levels, right? Like, they go through, like, level 20, and I got Batman to level 7, and the next highest one was level 3. And I'm intentionally leveling up Aquaman, because he's so lame. But he is easy to use. And he's also got the same patterns as Batman when it comes to his button combos. So a lot of his stuff is get in close and then use those combos in order, which is why you kind of just erase people's faces.
I fucking hate Aquaman.
It's nothing near as bad as fucking Glacius's kick combo from fucking...
Oh, I know, right?
The old school fucking Glacius kick combo.
But, believe it or not...
I always do that, like, in my sleep almost.
If you're good enough to pull him off, Swamp Thing in that game can be just as frustrating.
Yeah, because he's got some range.
Well, not only that, but he fucking controls the map if you do the combos right, because he'll become one with Mother Nature and then pop shit out of the ground wherever you are, and you're fucked.
One with Mother Nature, huh?
Swamp Thing looks cool, though. I think that's...
I don't ever want to be one with Mother Nature. I think that's dirty.
Go fuck a tree. Just, that's where you
fuck
just
or not.
Pull a spawn, kill Mother Nature, and take her place.
Wow. I know, I've been playing something else that we've been talking about, and I'm the only one playing it.
Yeah, because you're the only one who has it right now.
Monster Hunter World.
Yeah. It's another one that I meant to pick up, and, you know, yeah.
I will give some props out to the... I went to go pick it up on lunch, and I ran into Matt. It's been on the show, but it's been a while.
Yeah?
Our semi-resident World of Warcraft player and Final Fantasy Online player.
Yeah. Dick.
But he... I realized that I couldn't pick it up right away on lunch. My lunch was usually, like, between 4:30 and 5:30, and that day, when release day, it ended up being at 6:30, but it was going to be till 9 till they sold it. So the store that was over by work offered to let me pick it up at the store by my house, which was like way across town,
right?
Which was kind of cool of them. So I ended up picking it up the next day. And then me and a coworker have been digging into it. I will say some things that I like about it, some things I really don't like about it. The things about Monster Hunter that are good, that have improved upon other Monster Hunters, is tracking's a lot easier, and some of the menial stuff has been made a lot easier. One of the menial things was the sharpening stones used to have a finite amount of uses.
Right.
And you used to have to farm shit in order to have enough whetstones so that you could keep your blade sharp throughout the whole map. And really the rhythm of it is you beat the monster up enough to where he leaves the area, and then you sharpen your blade. Okay. And then you kind of rinse and repeat, right? Well, before you did every fight, it was go into the map into forge mode and find all the shit you need, and then back out of the map, and then go in again on the hunt, and then go take out the monster. They've gotten rid of that because your basic whetstone has an infinite amount of usage, and then you can fish, and you can find certain fish that have a scale that you can get beyond what your normal sharpness is. So if you wanted to do that, you got that option, but you don't have to.
So sharpness in this game is basically your weapon damage durability thingamabob?
Right, and then different weapons have... So, like, your bone weapons hit harder but have less durability. So they have, like, a maximum sharpness, a medium sharpness, and a low sharpness. And then if you get it below low sharpness, then it's just a blunt weapon that does almost no damage.
Sweet.
So you have to keep it sharp, which really, in all reality, I haven't run into very many encounters where I had to sharpen mid-fight. Most of the time you wear them down to where you're at half sharpness, and then you just kind of refresh and go to the next area and continue fighting the monster. But so they've fixed that. They have these things called scout flies now, and what scout flies are is you find a monster track, and you find it like highlights where the next track is, and then after you've highlighted enough tracks, it will guide you to wherever the monster is, which is something they didn't really do before. You can also open your map, and once you've found the monster, put a pin on the monster, and then it'll just track him wherever he's at on the map. And the flies will show you where they're at. The only time they don't work is when you're currently in combat. So, which sometimes happens while you're tracking something. You might run into something that's a little bit dangerous, and then you beat it, or move out of that area, and then continue on. But I think that's a fairly big improvement. The cooking thing has been streamlined. You don't have to cook all your dinners. You got a chef that will cook you special dinners, so that you just pick what stats you want to boost, give him the money or the hunting points, and he makes you the dinner before you start the match, and then you got extra stats for whatever monster you're fighting. You've got a place where you can trade in materials, so if you've been farming for a certain material to upgrade your weapon and you can't find it, you get far enough in the progression of the game, there's a guy that's in your village that will actually upgrade. You get him X number of materials, and then he spits out different parts depending on what you give him. Gotcha. So you can trade stuff in to get the material you need, so you don't have to necessarily grind something with a low drop chance. You just might have to give them a whole bunch of a different type of material in order to get it. But it at least removes that gate of, okay, I'm going to grind today to get this one flame sack, and I'm going to, spend 4 hours on this one monster until he drops it, right? Like, you can kind of get around that now, which is kind of nice.
Okay.
So those are kind of quality of life improvements. The part that's not really done well, and this is kind of a big bummer, is multiplayer, and I'll explain. So if you're multiplayer, you guys are both beyond the quest that you're wanting to do, right? Or the hunt, because you've got like three different quest types you can do. You've got, well, more than that, but the three basic ones are your story quests, you've got optional quests, and you've got these events. So you can say, I want to hunt these monsters. There's a list of events. You can do it so many times, and it gives you certain rewards, and you can pick those up, and there's nothing to it, right? You're in multiplayer and you just started together. But if you both haven't seen the cutscene for the monster before on the story quest, you both have to watch that cutscene back out and then jump in together. So if you're trying to co-op with somebody, it is a fucking murder. And I had a lot of trouble with that, and it was frustrating me to no end. So what me and this guy would do is we'd get into the map, both hit the cutscene, which basically meant we tracked the monster to where it was at in the map, which might take 10 minutes. Both back out, and then both jump in again at the same thing and restart it, and then we'd play it. And now, that's because we were playing literally the same part of progression for the whole thing. Now that we're kind of separated, though, it's not nearly as big a deal. I'm about two quests ahead of him, so if he wants to do something again, it's no big for me. But if once he catches up, we're going to have to start that whole process again.
That sucks.
So,
well, I mean,
that part is kind of a pain in the ass, and I wish they would streamline that.
That sounds a lot like what just happened in Final Fantasy, actually.
It might be a Japanese thing.
So, I mean, yes, okay, so...
Why can't we view cutscenes at the same time, right?
Right. Now, so, thanks, Matt, for kind of goading me into doing this. But yeah, I've been kind of, playing Final Fantasy on, whenever I can. Which is pretty much whenever. And just recently, they just did another patch. It's a 4.2 patch, which really kind of like sunk it in. This game is like 5 years old. But one of the biggest fucking things that they did in this patch was all of the story missions. And there's a really good story. I will tell you that. Okay, so I've gotten through a good portion of the original game's story. But there are some really fucking epic moments which basically have, like, you know, cutscenes for them. You know, and you have to go through these cutscenes, and it's, you know, it's got texts, and you have, you know, you're kind of, like, reading the story, and some big things are happening, right? This is happening in an 8-person party. Okay, and if, and the biggest change that happened was that if any one person in that 8-person party has not seen the cutscenes yet, they're not skippable for anybody. And you cannot progress until that cutscene goes its full fucking course. Now, me being a new player, I was that guy that had to sit through the fucking cutscenes. And the higher level players will run these instances not to really help the new guys, but because there's good experience at higher levels. So, I was that guy that had not seen it before, and of course, this was right after the patch hit, so it couldn't be skipped. They're yelling at me to skip the cutscenes, and I'm not able to skip the cutscenes. I'm telling them, look, it's in the patch notes. I can't skip it anymore, right? So this thing that they normally do in like 15, 20 minutes to just kind of speed run through, pull everything in the fucking...
Took an hour.
You know, it took an hour to go through, and everybody was just fucking livid, right? You know, I'm perfectly fine because I've not seen this before. This is epic. This is like the conclusion of the main story of the base game for Final Fantasy. So I'm like, this is really fucking cool. I mean, sure, the bosses are dying really quickly, but I mean, the cutscenes are fucking amazing, right? You know, but it's just, it was just a weird, like, people suck moment because I'm really enjoying the story, and people are like fucking like up my ass trying to get it, trying to get me to skip it. Now,
are you on Discord or something?
It was in game chat. I can ignore it; it's all text. But it was basically just like a constant stream of hate, you know. I'm all right with it. Now, there's kind of a quote unquote YouTube story mode that you can do, so if you do skip a cutscene, you can go back to an inn, and there's a little book that you can open, and it will give you a list of all the cutscenes so that you can kind of click on the cutscene and watch it over. So it, in the past, it was basically, you know, skip the cutscene, go back to the YouTube story, and find out what actually happened. You know, beat the boss, get the instance done, you know, stop inconveniencing a bunch of other people, and just go watch your YouTube story.
I almost
wish that you could do that with Monster Hunter shit.
Right.
It would be... I mean, it's the moments, the story in it is not really all that great. It's the first time there's had anything with voice in it.
Yeah.
But it's just a really basic story, right? Like, really, the appeal to that game is hunting big bosses with your friends.
Right.
But, so now, basically, Final Fantasy 14 is like, no skip for you!
No skip for you at all.
Well,
it's not bad for the new player. I mean,
right.
It's the new player gets to experience the things that other people had experienced 4 years ago, really. Right. But, and it's still epic for that one person. But it's not epic for the 7 other people that are just sitting there going, man, I've seen this thing 18,000 times. I just want to go, you know? And that's, it's kind of an option in, you know, I need the option in the game. Like, as a new player, if I'm queuing up for this thing for the first time and I want to see the cutscenes, I should get the option when I queue up for this thing, if I want the cutscenes, hit check mark. You know, if I don't want to hit the cutscenes, then I can always go watch it on the YouTube version of it or something, you know? But the way that Square Enix had actually had done this is they upped the rewards for everybody that had to sit through the cutscenes.
That's an interesting choice.
All right, so if if I'm the new person and I say at the beginning, before the instance even starts, before I even interact with anybody in this party, that I want to skip the cutscenes, then I think that should be an option. Because for me, I'm perfectly fine with just watching it later, you know, but it's kind of an inconvenience at the moment.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, I can really feel how fucking old this game is, having stepped into it for the first time. It is actually fairly fucking long, like long-winded fucking stories almost, you know, is where I'm at right now. Because there's main story quest lines for each expansion. So nothing before 2.0 when A Realm Reborn was made. Because, you know, if you haven't heard the whole story behind Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah, they redid it.
Yeah, it started off as a shit game, like fucking total garbage. And then they redid it as A Realm Reborn. That started 2.0. And that's where the game really starts. And then you go through a Realm Reborn, the base game's story, and then at the end of the base game story, there's another fairly long storyline that they'd added to the game in patches between the end of the first story and the beginning of the expansion story. And right now, that's like 100 quests long. It's a really long fucking quest line, but that is... in Final Fantasy 14, your story gated. You cannot progress further until you complete that story mission. So you have to do the story. And so at level 50, you have 100 quest line, you know, a quest storyline that you have to do before you can even progress to level 60. You get basically no experience for doing it. It's really story heavy, and it's really cool as far as the story is concerned, because they kind of weave some elements into it. But it's super long-winded. And right. I wish that they had actually kind of compressed it a little bit, because, I mean, it is four-year-old content that I'm playing, right? I wish they kind of compressed it. You know, a little less jump from here to here and do this or get this fucking item and run back. And, you know, it's just do the story instead of all the busy work that, you know, that they added to keep people happy at the time.
Right. You know?
So, I don't know. It's, I enjoy my time with it. And I really picked up the game for the story, really, because I wanted something like that. Something that was kind of persistent. The story's good, but...
I think I'm still going to hold off. I think if I ever jump back in an MMO, I might pick up ESO again and try it out again after it's had this many patches. But I don't know that I'm going to jump back
in. I can tell you right now, coming from... When I played WoW, I played it from vanilla. So basically, I was new when everybody else was new. And I was experiencing new content with everybody as it was going. And that was pretty much the norm for me all the way through when I stopped playing. It was
right.
All new content. Everybody was, you know, not over-geared. We were all learning the content at the same time.
Yep.
Having jumped into a new MMO, I've run into something in an MMO that I haven't really dealt with before. And that is people just being light years fucking ahead of you. And when you're going through the content, you are either in a group where you're just face rolling everything because they're all over geared, mm-hmm. or, you know, you just don't get the same new player experience. It's just kind of there to be there, you know?
Yeah.
And I can understand the appeal for those people who want to go and spend the money for, you know, skip potions or whatever, you know, so that they can get to the new content, because really getting through the first fucking like 50, 60 hours of this MMO is just trying to catch up. And it's
really pretty tedious.
Yeah, it's really tedious. It's just, you know, it's quest lines that nobody's going to help you with because they've all done it 4 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, like I said, the quests are cool. Some of them are really cool. There's a Hildebrand quest line. If anybody's played this game, they know what I'm talking about. It is kind of like that cheesy fucking, you know, Japanese-y almost quest line that you can do that centers around a really bad investigator. But they've added those elements, into the game over time, and I'm just now experiencing them. It's just a weird experience. But yeah, I can see why this game took off, and comparing it to my experience in WoW, I think that this game is actually a little more complicated. It's got a lot more systems to it.
Yeah.
And it's still one of those things you just kind of have to wrap your head around. Like, just watching people craft is interesting, because there is a rotation to crafting.
Really?
Yes. Crafting requires thought. Instead of hitting a button and just watching a bar fill up, you have to hit a series of buttons in the right order, and there's a possibility that it'll fill up. So each, like the high-level crafting stuff is almost like boss-level crafting. It is, you have to be on top of your game, for you to be able to do certain things. It's an interesting take on the crafting system. I don't know, it fills up a lot of time. It is definitely a time sink. The game is grindy as hell. But, I don't know, I enjoy it. It's probably one of the reasons why I haven't really picked up, the PlayStation 4 controller and played anything else outside of the headache. This I can play with a headache. Because if I need to, I just AFK, go lay down. Whereas if I'm playing something like fucking, anything with a controller, I guess I could pause, but I don't know. It's also very easy for me to multitask and to do other things,
I could see that.
I don't know. Still have not gotten any help from anybody. Dick face. Not one red fucking gill. Asshole. He's like, you're gonna play this game, I'll set you up with a bunch of gill. Not one fucking red cent, man. Not one. I've been waiting for it. Didn't happen. I'm level 51 right now. Come on now.
Clearly been playing a little bit.
The way that the game is set up is each character can be any class in the game, any role in the game. So I have three jobs that are 50 plus, but yeah. It's kind of a cheat way of doing it. I started one character, got it up to 50, and then there's two jobs that actually start at 50. So I can be a bard, a samurai, or a red mage. And I'm really liking red mage, but samurai has some really...
Samurai is pretty fucking cool.
So there's samurais and ninja in this game. Ninja, you start out at like level 1, but samurai starts out at fucking level 50. And you get yourself a katana, and you do some... And all of the moves are in fucking Japanese. And it's an interesting set of rotations, because everything is a combo.
Right.
You slash this way, and then you slash a different way, and it raises one gauge. And then you have to balance all three of these gauges together to be able to do a really, really strong attack. But it is very, very Japanese.
Oh, I'd imagine. But still, samurai's got a role,
Highest DPS in the game.
Fuck yeah.
Can't do anything else. He can't really do much of anything else other than just damage the fuck out of whatever his target is. But, you know, that's his job. He's a DPS. That's
okay.
That, and you get to wear a katana.
So when are you guys getting Monster Hunter?
When am I getting Monster Hunter? Let me see. When my card works. Fucking bank told me to turn my card off, so I can't buy anything with my fucking card. I have to go to the bank, but, you know, working a night shift, banker hours is definitely, most definitely, day shift. And, yeah, I'm sleeping during that entire time. They're open for 8 hours. I'm sleeping for 8 hours. I just basically won't use my money at all.
I'll say multiplayer has been a pretty fun experience. I say let. Jason came in while I was finishing up the fight. Yep. I had a bow, and then the guy from work was using his hammer on a wyvern, which he was landing a lot less hits than me until I would get it to come down. Like, there's a lot of different techniques to get something that's flying to, you know, be grounded. And with, you know, most of the time they'll fly low, and you can get some upward strikes with a melee weapon, but, like, ranged is kind of ideal for things that primarily fly.
Right.
So, I had some, there's a couple of different things, again, like, ways the movement's a little bit different. You have this, like, grappling hook that you can use. You have different points in the map that you can use the grappling hook to get around areas, but it also, you can load ammo into it that do different things. And they call it a slinger, so sometimes you have these things called flash pods. The flash pods are like a flashbang, and if you shoot it near the monster's face, it blinds him and then it knocks him down. Or sometimes you can get a rock. If you can hit it in the eye while it's flying around, you can knock him. He'll, you know, it stuns him and he'll drop to the ground, then you can start fighting him again.
You have to hit him in the eye?
It auto-locks a little bit.
Okay.
The flash pods don't auto-lock, but like if you're trying to hit him on the face, like it'll auto-lock on the head and you just gotta move it around a little bit to get it on the eye. But
on the eye?
Yeah, like, you know, thanks. I've gotten some temple shots in there, too. Like, I've gotten fairly good with it. It's not that hard.
Temple shots.
I mean, these monsters are huge.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. I am picturing, like, a slingshot right now. I don't know why. It's
like a wrist rocket, but you can use it one-handed, right?
Okay. Wrist rocket. Got it.
So, like, there's a lot of, yeah.
Rocket power! He's charging up his something.
But yeah, he's leveling up, right?
Yeah, he is.
But yeah, like, there's a lot of instances where if you are going to use a melee weapon, you depend on that slinger to knock the monster down so you can take it out. But, like, I was initially kind of intimidated with the weapon sets because it does take a while to kind of get used to it, but there's a practice area where I spent some time, like, learning some stuff so I could figure it out. And the practice area tells you the basic move sets of the weapons. And so there's, like, a post in the middle of that you can just kind of wail on until you understand how things work.
Practice dummies. I know how practice dummies work.
Right.
But, like, I figured out that I really like something called a switch axe. And it's what it is. It's an axe and a sword combined. And it has, like, an infinite combo on it to where you can just, once you swing it and you connect a couple times, you can just keep tapping B, and he swings it like a lasso around his head and just, like, hit, hit, hit. And it uses up your stamina. You get, like, 15 hits on something, and it's pretty epic. But, like, the one I was most intimidated by, because I was always bad at it in the other games, was the basic Buster Sword.
Great sword.
But it hits like a fucking truck. You just have to learn how to dodge a little bit, and then it's got a block on it. It also has an unblockable move that you can use on it where you'll still take damage, but you won't get stunned. So you can work that into your combo. If you're about to do, like, a big overhead slam, he does this, calls it a tackle, but it's not really a tackle. He just kind of scoots up with the sword sideways in front of him. And what it does, it breaks through that knockdown the monster's about to do on you, and then it'll let you continue to work on your combo. Huh. So it's, and then it has some really fun moves. Like, you can charge it up too when you're hitting with it, and it stuns, it cuts tails off, it does all sorts of things. It is just a big fucking meat cleaver, and it's intense.
this is the one that's kind of like a bone blade with some
it's kind of like
teeth on the top. And
well, I mean, it can look like that, yes, but okay. Like it's the signature weapon of the series.
Okay.
But there's a lot of other things. It's the one that hits the hardest, but is definitely the slowest, and it just takes a while to kind of understand how to use
it. It's the sword that is as big, if not bigger, than your character.
Right.
Okay.
Gotcha. But, like, he's even got this move where he does an overhead slam, and as he slams it down, he uses it to vault and then further pull the sword back from behind his back and do another overhead slam with the sword. Like, it's comical, but but it's funny. And it hits really fucking hard.
Oh, of course.
But, yeah, the Buster Sword is probably... I've had a lot of fun with it because it one-shots all the little animals. And now that, like, I've gotten that sword, better versions of that sword, right? Because the sword tree is like 12 other different weapons for each material, and it's like 3 materials. So, like, as you get further in the game, it just unlocks way more into the tree, to get more stuff for it so it does different things. But, like, I got a poison version of the sword, and then I got another version of the sword that does, like, water damage. I've got a flaming version of that sword. But they got a lot of different... there's a lot of different options. Like, the thing that I didn't think I'd like is they got a... It's a gunblade, kind of Final Fantasy-esque, but it's a lance. And so what it does is the lance will sweep side to side. It's got a couple of different stab attacks, and then it has an unload mode. And what you do is you can combo it into shooting the gun portion of it. So there's a gun on the end of this lance, right? It's kind of like a long rifle with a bayonet almost.
Right.
And you can combo in like 3 shots, and it also has something called a dragon shot, which is another powerful form of the weapon. And you can chain into that, and it shoots a large shot off if at point-blank range of the monster. So that part's pretty fun.
Yeah, it does.
But
poke him with my lance until it shoots.
Right. but yeah, like the moveset on that is you get a shield with it, too, which means you can block, depending on what type of damage they're doing, you can block a big portion of the damage. And me and my buddy from work were doing some stuff with a monster that had a charge attack that was kind of hard to block or get out of the way of. And so I'd go in and piss it off and just hit it in the face with the lance and then just stand in front of it and block all the damage as long as my stamina would hold up. And that would give him the opportunity to get to its side and hit it with a hammer. So, like, the tactics with people makes the game, it's very, like, MMO light in a way that
you can tank.
You can tank, but my character has, like, I've farmed enough materials to have different versions of a lot of the different weapons. So when I'm playing solo play, I don't always use that unless I'm fighting like a Wyvern or something that I know is that breathes an elemental type of damage, so I know that I can block it and just kind of sit there and just beat the shit out of it. But it's the sense of scale's nice. The, you know, monster hunts are pretty epic. The fights are pretty fun. It's not, I think it's easier so far than the other Monster Hunters, which is not a bad thing because the other Monster Hunters were impossible without other people. This one is set up in a way where you can put it in single player mode, and when it's in single player mode, the monsters get easier. They scale to whatever, you know, like half health, right? Like if it's just you, and then if it's two people, like it doubles the health or something. So, and they get expanded move sets. So they'll do different things with their moves so that they can kind of compensate for having two people to fight or four people to fight or whatever, right?
Okay.
Nice.
So it makes the fights just as long with two people. You don't just like power through it. It's definitely feels as epic when you're doing two players as it does one player. And a lot of the whole, like, use your slingshot or your grappling hook to get above the monster and then jump on its head and start stabbing it in the face, which is kind of fun.
You know, this just, wow. Wow. Like, jump on top of the monster and stab it in the face.
Yeah.
I need to bring this monster down. I'm going to shoot it in its eye. With a rock.
Yeah, because you do have just basic stones, right? And there's also different ammo types. There's something called bright moss that will blind it. So you shoot it, you don't have to hit it anywhere really in the face, and it will blind the monster, and it's pretty plentiful on most of the maps.
Yeah.
So a lot of the times your slinger is not really a damage weapon, it's just a utility.
Gotcha.
But you can't use it while you have your weapon out, so you have to sheathe your weapon and then aim that and then hit it, and then unsheathing with any of the weapons is super fast. So it's like, as soon as you hit Y, your weapon's out and you're already doing a swing or something like that. But there's a lot of different variety of the weapons. Like, they have a katana, basically a huge, like, you know, person-tall katana, right? and it has no guard on it, but as you get subsequent hits, it charges up spirit mode, and then spirit mode you do more damage and it hits twice as fast. So you charge that up with some basic attacks, and then you can go in there and wail on whatever creature you want to wail on.
So you have a Sephiroth sword.
Basically.
Gotcha.
Or like the dual blades kind of do the same thing, and then you turn into a buzzsaw, and your character does all sorts of crazy acrobatics as he's like spinning like a fucking buzzsaw while he's in, I guess it's called Archdemon mode or something crazy like that.
Rogue mode.
Right, but it looks cool. Like, it's flashy as shit. It just... Again, like, I recommend playing around with all the different weapons. Like, all the different long-range weapons have different special abilities. So, like, Jason came in while I was playing with the bow, and the bow has different coatings. So I was hitting it with poison coating to give, like, a substantial damage over time. It's got something called Dragon Shot, which is a, like, a two-second charge shot, which is impossible to pull off solo for the most part, but very easy when you're playing with somebody else. So, you have somebody else distract the monster, right? And then you can just start unloading with charged shots. It's got this thing where you shoot a bag of caltrops up into the air, and it drops on and will knock flying monsters down.
Sweet.
And then you can use it to sleep them or paralyze them or all sorts of stuff. The heavy bowcaster, basically, is what it is. Has a snipe mode.
Does it come complete with a Wookiee?
I mean, you could make a character that's kind of Wookiee-like. But, like, it has a snipe mode. You load it with a charge shot, and he full-on gets on his biped out and then lays down to shoot, but then it's a really powerful shot. And then I found some ammo called, like, Wyvern Blast ammo, and it, like, it goes very Dragon Ball Z. The front of your weapon glows, and then, like, fire and flames and lasers shoot out the end of it, and it's a long-time shot, but if you pull it off, it does, like, stupid fucking damage. Like, where I'm normally shooting for, like, 15 or 30 or 50, right?
Right.
It's a shot for, like, 600.
Jeez.
But it takes 3 seconds to charge up, so you have to have the monster distracted to even get it off. But it's worth shooting once you... But you have to... It's at, like, point-blank range, too. Mm-hmm. You're talking about a gun that just lets you walk around, so it's kind of hard to,
well,
like, get up that close. But it's, like, a risk-reward thing, and it pays off, and it's pretty epic. But, like, yeah, overall, like, I've had a shitload of fun doing it, and the gameplay loop on that is set up these hunts to get better gear, right? Like, the grind part of getting the gear to hunt the monsters is easy enough solo play.
Right.
And challenging enough to where it doesn't just, like, completely... Like, I've had some epic fights of my own where I was like, how am I going to beat this? And I'd finally get through, right? Or I'd die a couple times and then come back and figure it out. But, like, the gameplay loop is basically set up the hunts for the things you want, for the gear that you want, make epic, cool-looking gear, go out, fight the next level of things, and then go figure out which one of those sets you like the best, and then go kill that monster over and over, or those two monsters over and over on these hunts, and get the rewards, and then go to the next thing, right? Which is building up, basically, I guess, once you get to the end of the game, it unlocks, like, this Atlas-class monsters, which take 4 people to take down. So, like, that's kind of, like, the next thing that you're going to do, and it'll all be free expansion stuff they're going to add to it later.
So basically, their idea of expanding this game is just adding new monsters with new mechanics.
Yeah, but they're long, like, 45-minute boss fight things.
Oh, that's where they get you.
Yep.
It's so not... It's
basically, like, a 4-man raid.
Right, and they... But it's unique enough that it's, like... I don't feel like it's as... There's not a huge, like, extra... ad grind, right? It's like Shadow of the Colossus. Like, you go and hunt the one big thing, and then you guys all fight it at the same time. That part's not like Shadow of the Colossus, but you know what I mean? Like, it's... Shadow of the Colossus isn't about the ads, it's about the one big fight.
Right.
And there's some ads with some of this stuff, but it's kind of trivial. It's mostly about the big fight. And the big fights are pretty fun most of the time.
That's kind of the reason why I like, you know, well, yeah, it's... There needs to be more of that kind of thing. Like, I understand, you know, games that have you go through, grind certain things to get, you know, materials. But when you go to do a boss fight, it really should be just the boss, right? It shouldn't be, you know, 45 minutes worth of ads and then a boss. I mean, I'm talking,
the thing that makes us different than Destiny is you can get higher levels of, like, the big menagerie of different monsters they already have and take it on the 4-player crew, and then it's an epic fight, right? So you can just go find it, and they might have some ads, right? But, like, the whole focus of that, you got 50 minutes to beat it. is you guys all kind of bum rush. You get everything set up. You're prepared. And then you go in and track it, and then you all go fight. And then you just kind of pick whatever you want, and you go fight something else. Like, what's really fun to fight? Let's fight that thing, right? Now I've got a guy that's, you know, I've got a guy that's ranged. I've got a guy with a sword and shield. I've got a lancer. I've got a guy that's, like, pure DPS, and I've got a range guy, right? And range guys shouldn't aggro, but he does sometimes, you know, like, but it's, like, Destiny, you've got, like, a handful of raids that are all very much the same, and these can be very much randomized with whatever you want. And it's kind of get in and get out, right? I'm not going to... I might spend a long time doing it if I don't know how to do the fight. But I haven't run into that situation yet. At some point, I will. But it's more of, let's just go boss fight together, and then when I'm done, I'm done, right? I don't have... And I've got way more variety than running through the instance that I do in Destiny. It's just boss fight the game.
And, yeah. And
the story really doesn't matter. I mean, like, I could give two shits.
It's awesome.
So it's
Monster
Hunter has never had story.
Okay,
that's the thing. Like it's always
it's just about Monster Hunter.
It's always been boss fight the game.
Okay,
yeah. And the other thing,
and you get little cats, and the cats are kind of fun.
Yeah,
like I hate cats in real life. Like not,
they're like sentient, talking, helpful cats.
Yeah, the
not the asshole, non sentient, really fucking. Dick face, like, you know, eat food and shit in litter boxes cats that we have in our
world. My cat's name's Ass Face, and the cat that my buddy has is named Satan. So we've got Satan and Ass Face.
Beastly.
They do help out, though. Like, they distract the monsters sometimes, and they'll tank them, and you don't really ever have to worry about their health or manage them at all, because they're all AI-controlled. You can choose to leave them behind if you want to, but, like, they'll distract the monster while you need to charge up your super, right? Or you need to heal for a second, right? If you're getting low on health, they also bring health to you sometimes. So, like, there's a lot of use to them.
Okay.
And, you know, and they're not real chatty, so you don't have to hear, like, cat talk the whole time or anything crazy.
Right.
They just kind of go around and do things. And you can outfit them with some goofy-ass gear. Mine's got, like, a little dragon hat on and, like, a big, like fish sword or something stupid.
Wow.
And then my buddy's has, like, this, like, he looks like a little mini space marine. Like, he's got, like, a little bubble helmet with huge shoulder pads on it. And he's, like, super fucking tanky looking, but, you know, he's 2 feet tall. He looks like a little mini space marine.
I'm a 2 foot tall tank. This is a 20 foot tall monster.
Oh, the monsters are pretty big, too. Like, the one that we actually had the most trouble on, because we did zero grind on, was a fire-breathing T-Rex with back hair. And that thing... distilled in the simplest form, that's basically what it was. Fire-breathing T-Rex with back hair. But it had, like, a charge on it that would hit you for half health, and then it would do sometimes combo charge and breathe fire at the same time, which would one-shot you. Is where we decided we were going to have somebody tank him, which ended up being me. So I found the set that had the most block on it, that was basically a shield that's as big as me with a lance, and I would just go in and piss it off with my lance and then get his attention and just let him go wail on it with his hammer. So I'd just stab him in the face over and over again while he would...
Did you end up killing it?
After 2 hours.
2 hours?
We had a hard time living. It took multiple attempts and multiple strategy changes.
I heard about this T-Rex, this proto-Rex,
it's called Agenoth.
Okay, well, I heard that there's this one fucking monster that just trounces around the fucking map, and while you're fighting shit, will jump into the fucking fight and fuck shit up.
Oh, that happens no matter what. There's always, so every area has, like, as you've discovered them, like, different monsters that roam the map no matter what. And when you go into the fight, it'll tell you what extra monsters there are, and you could hunt them on their own, too, if you wanted to. But we lucked out on him because a wyvern that we hadn't previously discovered came down and picked the T-Rex up and took him to another area and started fighting him. So we ended up, you know...
Helping the wyvern?
Yeah. And running from the wyvern, because then he started picking us up.
But, oh, of course.
Tasty
morsels.
Yeah. But yeah, like that's kind of the randomness that's in there. Like we were fighting one right as Jason got here and there was a flying monster and we got attacked by something that basically has a flashbang. So its fins go up and then he shoots, it's like a camera. He shoots a big blast of light and it stuns everybody. And it was working to our advantage for a while and then we started getting caught in it and then we were just like, fuck this. We let the monster limp off and then we just like waited till it was way far away before we started fighting again.
Jeez.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. It does. I think it looks the worst on Xbox One. I will say that.
Oh, well, great.
I mean, videos I've seen of 1S and the 1X look all right, but it does look grainy on the regular
Xbox. But it doesn't have a lot of load. So like when you get into an area, there's like zero load time after you've loaded in. So you load into a huge map, and there's zero load time. Which on all the other games, it was little section by section it would load. This one, you load the map once, and then you're done loading until you're done with the quest.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's a little bit grainy on Xbox One. It's got a good color palette to it. I mean, it's got an interesting enough character design and weapon design and everything else. I mean, it stands out. But it's definitely not running 1080p on my Xbox One. It's probably running, I think it was like 840p or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I've heard that this is coming to PC, but it's not coming till like later on in the year. I'm kind of a PC guy right now. I don't know why. I know why. Because I just paid off my fucking PC. I really like PC.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I'm playing Subnautica on it,
but
I don't have anything new to report on it because I kind of stopped to play more Monster Hunter.
I haven't played Subnautica either. So
Jesus, see, this is what happened. You played an MMO and you lost your life.
This is what happens when you play an MMO. No, this is what happens.
Two years later, Rusty, what game are you playing? We're talking about Final Fantasy Online.
Yeah, about the new patches and whatnot. Because I mean, that's the way to go. It's the raids and the boss fights and the gear and the gear and the gear and the gear
and the gear and
the gear.
Do you want to break?
Dick. Yeah, let's go to break.
Sure.
Let's let Rusty survive. We'll be back. Still living, barely.
Yay. Holy fuck, this migraine really sucks balls right now. Anywho.
So we do have some big news. But not a lot of it.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have... I want to speak about one, and you can talk about the other.
Do it.
So we've been looking at Anthem, right? We talk about it. It's something that we're kind of anticipating, right?
Yes.
And it's... I don't know that it's actually delayed. It's just now that they have a release for it, they're saying it's early 2019.
Right, yeah. It's been delayed. It was supposed to come out this October. And EA and BioWare kind of hinted about it a little bit, saying that it's probably not going to be ready.
Yeah, but they have the full team working on it this time.
Right. So,
and if they're delaying it, I'm okay with it because they rushed Mass Effect and it's kind of fresh in a lot of people's minds. Yep. They rushed Mass Effect and their faith right now for that company is having a shining history of almost no fuck-ups.
Right. Now
they're having some faith lost with a bunch of gamers.
Right. So what they're going to do instead is they did have it slated for an October release. EA said, we're not going to let, you know, we're not going to have a gaping hole here. We're going to have an October release.
Yeah.
So what they're doing is they're going to push out a new Battlefield game for October this year. In Anthem's place. And then Anthem will take on the early year next year, provided that it's ready.
Very much.
They just need to get that game right. If they don't get Anthem right, that's going to tank fucking BioWare.
I don't even understand why they want to take the risk with it. I'm a big fan of BioWare RPGs. I've never really done multiplayer.
Same idea behind Bungie, really. Because Bungie had Halo, and yep. Then they went to Destiny. You know, which is kind of, it's still gunplay, sure, but it was more of a, you know, MMO light, which was outside of their comfort zone, right? So BioWare is more of a, you know, an RPG, you know, game, and they're going to go into a shooter MMO light.
Yep.
Which is going to be outside their comfort zone a little bit.
I'd rather see something more in the veins of like a Borderlands, right? Like a Diablo-esque loot game that lets you co-op rather than worrying about a big multiplayer experience.
I just need to come out with fucking Diablo 4 already.
Pretty much.
You know, I had, you know how like Facebook has memories in your feed, right?
Right.
So my memory in my feed for today was Diablo 3 beta for 6 years ago.
Yeah. No, see, that's like a long ass fucking time. Well,
they just released that Necromancer DLC last year, so like
right.
That game is just going strong on everything at this point.
Yeah, I played it. I played the meta at the time, which was with the fucking Thorn Paladin, you know, meta, which it was powerful. I mean, I was doing fairly well with that, but ultimately it is not any different. It's just the same thing over and over and over and over again. So I don't know how
I think that game's fun. I think where my disconnect with it right now is I've played it so many times that doesn't matter how much they change the layout of the map, the tile set is the same.
Right.
And I just remembered, it's like, oh, I got to get through here to do this thing.
Well, after a while, you know, I mean, leveling that and trying to get to the sets, you just spend so much time trying to get the set that you need. That was the part. I mean, once you get a certain set and you start building building the set up with specific set bonuses, with specific weapons, and sometimes specific weapons with specific stats on that weapon, you just get into that same loop until you have everything, and then you just kind of walk into a place and explode the entire map. You know, it only gets harder as you get as you bump up the difficulty to absolute maximum. Hell are you doing, man?
I was just trying to cross my leg, and I just like about to rip this USB out.
Right, don't do that. No, I don't know. With Anthem, it promises to, you know, to be what Destiny really should have been. Yeah. And if they can pull it off, great. It's going to kill Destiny, though. It's going to
Destiny's
put
already dead again.
Destiny is basically lying in the coffin at the moment.
The 10-year plan has turned into a 3-year plan.
Right. It's lying in the coffin right now. They're not really doing what they need to do to save that game fast enough.
I just don't care.
And, yeah, after a while, you just, you know, you lose interest. Well, if gamers lose interest in the game, they're going to go somewhere else, and they're not going to come back. Point like us. We're that point.
We played it. You played it the most, and then after a while, I got sick of doing the same things, and I was like, you know what? As much as I try to make it something else, it's never the thing I'm trying to make it in right now. It's just kind of a grindy mess.
Well, I mean, I didn't have the... Okay, so the whole reason why I played Destiny for as long as I played Destiny was because I
was going for a Gjallarhorn.
Well, that, and the streamers actually made it fun for me.
Yeah, the...
Watching Broman and, you know, King Gathalion and the other yep. streamers playing Destiny, that's what made it fun. Because that rare fucking time where I actually got into a raid with Professor Broman, you know, it was interesting because I was on the stream. It's basically like being on TV in the game, in a game world. It's really awesome to get that invite from a streamer while they're live. It's kind of a weird thing, but for me it was, yeah, that's really fucking cool. You know, I'm going to get to play with the guy I've been watching for months, you know? So that's great. But, and that's the only reason why I played Destiny is just to, you know, to kind of play along, really. But that's kind of gone by the wayside now. So, you know, and I really haven't had any need to play Destiny. No. You know, the gameplay loop, as soon as I heard that it was pretty much the same thing, I said, it's not worth my time.
Right.
So Anthem really has to capture something different. They really have to, they have to capture a good party setup.
They
still be able to tell a fucking story.
They have to really sell me on it. They have to sell me on the idea again.
I'm not going to worry about it. And then with Anthem, you know, I'm going to take it with a grain of salt. I'm probably going to wait, right, before I drop cash in the game.
I am sure that we're going to get more information about Anthem as the year goes on. And right now, all we've got is what they revealed to us at an E3, right? So
we'll see more of this E3, probably.
You know, so we didn't really see much. We just saw a really cool gameplay concept. But how many times have we been burned on a really cool gameplay concept? Fucking, you know, No Man's Sky.
Pretty much.
You know, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. But if they need extra time, I think that one of the biggest banes in the game industry right now is pushing a game out too early. And then, you know,
earnings call and they're like, hey, we need to make some of this money back. And then right. They wait, and then they finally release it. And then it's not as good as they thought because they pushed a deadline and now
You can only push coders so much. Some developers just can't do what you want them to do in a short period of time. You have to work out certain problems. Well, and some of those things are difficult.
And honestly, that's been kind of the fun that I've been having with some of these independent games that are on early access that are finally releasing, right? You kind of got like a tracker of things that I look at that are kind of coming out, like Subnautica, right?
Right.
Waiting on the ticker for that. It was supposed to release early last year and it didn't hit it. And then it pushed it way out until they were done, and it worked out. Like, that game is not getting any negative reviews.
Right. It's
like, you're looking around, and people are just now discovering it. But before it even started, it had a player base of 1.8 million, right? On a budget that is shoestring compared to what Destiny launched on, right?
Right, right. You know,
there might be 20 million people to play Destiny, but the budget behind it is astronomically higher than what Subnautica was.
Right.
Subnautica probably ended up with a $5 or $10 million budget, where Destiny, you're probably talking about $90 or $100 million, right?
They had $500 million.
Oh, was it $500 million?
Remember?
Okay, yeah.
They had a $500 million budget for a 10-year plan.
Yeah, well, $500 million, right? And then say 20 million copies of that.
They're what, 3 years into the 10-year plan, and they're starting to tank real hard. Yeah. Okay.
Like, they didn't sell nearly enough copies to finance what they've.
No. Nope. Not really. So. You know, it does. I'm of the opinion that, you know, more developers need to delay their games, even if it means that I'm not going to get to play their game this year. If they know that their game's not going to be ready, delay that fucking game, and don't, for the love of God, don't put out a game that's broken and then promise to fix it with day one patches or fucking patches right after launch.
I just use that as an opportunity to promote. There's a lot of good indie stuff out there that nobody plays that I've had a lot of fun with and have enjoyed a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
Divinity being one of them.
Well, just basically last year for both of us has been indie the video game. You know, indie games were pretty much what we played.
It's most of what I do, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, I jump in. That's why I don't hit the consoles as often, because not the same selection I get on Steam.
Right.
And there's a big pile of shit to wade through on Steam, but there are some gems there.
Oh, God. There is. It is really bad on Steam
nowadays. But I feel like my track record's pretty damn good. So I remember several years ago mentioning Darkest Dungeon again. Uh-huh. That kind of exploded. Talking about Darkwood, that's kind of like picked up some momentum. Subnautica, that's picked up. 7 Days to Die. Well, it's not out, but it's kind of like a work in progress that changes every iteration.
Yeah. Yeah. 7 Days, yeah. I don't know. I feel for that game. I know that they're trying, but I think that they're starting to date at this point.
And I think you should check it out again.
Okay. Great. There goes another fucking like week or two where we fucking build up another base.
I mean, it's still got a pretty high rating. Going pretty strong.
It's because they ended up having a fairly solid crafting system. For me, anyway.
I'm actually looking to see if there's a release date yet.
I'm all right if that game never releases. Honestly. Well,
they change it so much between patches, it's kind of easy to kind of jump back in. I got a buddy of mine named TJ that I've been playing games with for a really long time that plays it every week still.
Yeah, but like I said, I'm all right with it never releasing. You know, just continue the way that they are. Don't set a final release date on that game, because then that means that after that release date, you're going to get just incidental shit and not the game changers that that they're doing right now. So,
right,
I'm all right with that game not releasing.
Well, I mean, they just put in Cars.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I mean. Isn't there another big release date for something that we actually are anticipating?
There is. Red Dead Redemption now has a release date of October 26th.
What? They're going to put that out for the holiday? That's going to be a big holiday game.
I'm probably going to get that on PS4 Pro unless I get an Xbox One X. What? Want to play it before
that's via Rockstar's official Twitter account. So that's pretty official.
Okay. Are they releasing a PC version of this game?
Play it on the goddamn console so we can multiplay.
Multiplay Red Dead now.
I'm gonna go rob a bunch of coaches.
I'm good, thanks. I was not a big fan of the multiplayer for Red Dead Redemption. Yeah, it's the whole posse thing. Not a big deal. I played Red Dead Redemption because it had a damn good story to it.
Still no word on the PC. So the announced release date is for PS4.
Well, it never released on PC to begin with.
No, it didn't. And that was one of the reasons why I was kind of pissed about it, is because I wanted to play that game on PC. Because you could jump jump the resolution up on on PC, and it looked fucking fantastic.
It's still a pretty good looking game.
It is, but
it dates well.
Yeah, but
I've played it within the last year, and was pretty impressed with the lighting that they still had in that game.
But it's Rockstar.
It is
Rockstar. So basically, they're gonna treat Red Dead Redemption 2 like they treated fucking Grand Theft Auto 5 and let it sit for like a year or 2 years before they put it out on PC, if ever.
Well, in the state of GTA 5 Online, like, that's why they haven't done anything else, is because they've made billions on the fucking online shit.
Right. Why would you want to, go any further than that? I don't know. GTA 5 Online, just, that's another thing that really didn't catch me.
Well, they finally released Heist, and it had been so long since we played it that it no longer was relevant to either of us.
Gotcha. All right.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's what we wanted, and then it happened like a year later.
Right.
Pretty much.
But I don't got anything else. So, you guys got anything else?
I've heard some stories about Microsoft being the fucking juggernaut that it is, with big fucking like Scrooge McDuck mini banks and stuff. They're looking at possibly picking up another development studio or some developers.
Oh, you mean so they can have some exclusives?
So
Because there's not a whole lot in the way of that, and Sea of Thieves is not really like a system seller.
Right. Now, the thing is they're just kind of putting the feelers out for developers, but they also kind of, it's a nasty rumor. They're also looking at distribution hubs, too. Yeah. There was some word that they were looking at Steam. And
don't fuck up my Steam.
And I don't think, because Steam's such a big fucking company, I don't think Microsoft would even go that far. But
I mean, they're basically have consolized the PC market,
right? And I can see where Microsoft could see some value in that, because then they would have, you know, they'd have control over, you know, basically Windows games.
Yep.
And
well, they don't get a lot of traction with their own games on Windows because people have Steam.
Right. So it's an attractive little gem that Microsoft might even think about doing, but I don't think Gabe's going to let it go. So
he's going to say, fuck you.
No, he's going to sit on his fucking golden throne and say, you know what? Nah, go fuck yourself.
Pretty much.
He doesn't have to, that's the thing, it's like, it doesn't have to do anything. There's not anything they could do to appeal to Gabe. He's got so much fucking money at this point.
Right, yeah, there's...
He's like the one guy that started it all. I mean, at this point, he's probably worth billions.
Oh, yeah. He's got
every, Steam probably has like a 70% market share of PC gaming at this point.
You know, and there was one fucking time, there was one point in my life...
Of everything sold.
There was one point in my life where I looked at, you know, when Valve came out with the whole Steam concept, I said, why would anybody buy a game digitally and not have the disc?
We all did that at some point.
We all did.
Oh my God, how times have changed. now I'm like, oh, this is, I'm feeling bored. What is there on sale on Steam right now?
Yeah.
I'm actually doing that right now.
At this point,
there's a game that came out called Tangled Deep that I was mildly interested in that's on sale because it just released.
At this point, if the wife buys me a game in physical hard copy, I'm actually a little bit disappointed.
Yeah, because that means I have to get my ass up and put the fucking disc in. If I want to play a different game, I got to go and change the fucking disc out, and then the discs get mixed up in different fucking boxes. Fuck discs altogether.
It's pretty much.
Like, for me, if I just want to play a fucking game, and just, you know, I download the fucking game. That way, you know, if I've got plenty of storage space on my hard drive, then I'm good. Good. I don't like the game anymore. I delete it from my hard drive. Boom. Done.
Pretty much.
And, you know, if I want to play it again, I download it again.
Yep.
Internet's cheap for now. thanks, Congress. so only one other thing that I thought I saw that kind of, you know, that stood out was they just released some benchmarking for Final Fantasy 15.
Right.
For the PC. And of course, the whole idea behind putting it on PC is that you can get extra beautiful graphics on that game. And that game was, you know, fairly pretty looking even on the Xbox. But you can play it in 8K on PC, and they put out some 8K screenshots of the game, and oh my God, you can see individual feathers in the chocobos. it's detailed. Very detailed. I would not be able to play it in 8K at anything more than 2 frames a second, but those 2 frames would be beautiful. but yeah.
Yeah, those stills.
Oh yeah.
Of the game that you get would be fucking beautiful.
Oh yeah, that would be awesome. It was like the most detailed screenshots every 2 seconds. I'm supposed to be fighting something? Oh, I'm dead. There's that game over screen again. God damn it. That game over screen is super detailed though.
Damn, it looks good.
now, but they just released the benchmark for the Windows edition today or yesterday. God, my days are all messed up because of the night shift. So if you want to see it, go get it. You can pick it up on Steam. It is just a benchmark tool, but it'll kind of give you an idea of what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think we have a whole lot else.
And watch the Far Cry 5 story trailer on YouTube.
Yeah, sure.
If you're into Far Cry.
I mean, normally am. I'm just kind of...
I heard that they're re-releasing Far Cry 3. Far Cry 3. Not Far Cry 4, but Far Cry 3. Yeah, the one with Voss. And they're re-releasing it on the current gen consoles. So it'll have improved graphics. That's all I've got.
That game actually looked pretty good anyway.
Far Cry 3? No. I'm all right if I never play that game again. Far Cry 4, same thing.
I didn't even make it all the way through Far Cry 4.
I did.
Kind of got bored.
It's not worth it.
I'm being honest, I kind of got bored. It didn't quite do it for me. There's just something about that game just kind of dropped off for me. But again, I'm not the biggest fan of shooters to begin with, and it kind of has a Skyrim feel to that whole series, right? Because it's open world and
the whole.
But
the best part about Far Cry was assaulting the little outposts and doing it in 100% stealth mode where they didn't fire off the sirens or whatever.
It's just not enough to interest me, I guess, about those games. We'll see. Maybe it'll be cool. But is there anything coming out? I don't really see much. I mean, you got Shadow of the Colossus re-release, I think, that that's released.
Pretty much it.
There's just, nothing coming out right now.
Nah, not really.
Play Subnautica.
I mean, this part of the year is normally pretty dry for game releases. I mean.
Excuse me. It was very disgusting. The beginning part of the year kind of sucks a little bit. So, I mean, the biggest thing that happened just recently was Monster Hunter and Dragon Ball FighterZ. So,
Monster Hunter's pretty good.
You could do that, yeah. And then February, SteamWorld Dig is coming to Switch. Night in the Woods is coming to Switch. Well, it's already out, really. Shadow of Colossus is coming out on the 6th. Let's see. Man, I don't know. There's another fucking Dynasty Warriors coming out.
Sure. Just keep looking, keep scrolling, right. Another re-release.
The only thing I'm really looking forward to in February really is Secret of Mana for PC. And oh my god, you can completely skip that one. Is it Metal Gear Survive comes out in February?
I was like, not Kojima. Might as well not be Metal Gear.
Right. Take the name off, thanks. That's really the only one I'm looking forward to this in February is a really, really old game just being re-released. Right. So
I honestly say catch up on your pile of shame because holy shit, this is a good time to do it. Or play Monster Hunter or play Subnautica because those are both pretty good.
Or I'll just play some more Final Fantasy online.
Or be like Rusty and never play another video game again and play MMO.
Oh, fuck off. Oh my god.
I'm gonna play a multiplayer game with a whole bunch of strangers.
Okay. You can play Monster Hunter World. I'll play fucking Final Fantasy 14 and basically get a similar experience. You know, just fucking suck it. Jesus. You're grinding, I'm grinding, we're both doing quests, and we're both killing big monsters. What's the fucking difference?
Except you could face roll macro all of yours.
No, it's actually quite deep, but fuck off, dickface.
So, Jason, where can you find us?
Find us at tiltcast.com, find us on Facebook and twitter.com/tiltcast, search for us on iTunes, find our YouTube channel at youtube.com/therealtiltcast.
I need to get some.
And find some friends of the show. We've got Cabbage, KBG, or Kickass Bubblegum.
Cabbage.
Look for him on YouTube.
YouTube.
Find other friends of the show, the carouselpodcast.com. You've got noquarters.net for the love of gaming. BMFcast.com and TVGP.tv. They do fantastic things, and they don't curse.
Do you have a broom? We need to clean up some of the salt.
Just call me Lot's wife.
All right. We're out of here.
Peace.